Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Just like to give a shout out to our brand new sponsor, thesweethoneypot.com. That is www.thesweethoneypot.com. It is your passion playground, and you should go check out their site because they are bringing sex positivity to you today by sponsoring this episode. And what do they have for you to peruse? A huge selection of items for all genders. There's lingerie in a huge diversity of sizes, and everything has user reviews, and there's videos for most of the products, so you can actually see how it works and how the experience has been for other people who've tried it. The billing is discreet and the shipping is discreet, 24-hour customer service, and they're giving us a special deal just for you Sex with Simmery listeners. If you use Timmery, T-I-M-A-R-E-E, you get $10 off of your next purchase, as long as it's over $50. So use T-I-M-A-R-E-E to get $10 off your first, next, every purchase. Again, www.thesweethoneypot.com is your passion playground. I want to thank them for bringing you this episode, and enjoy. Welcome to Sex with Timmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I am recording today from the Pennsylvania Convention Center, where I am attending for... I'm actually not sure how many times I've been here. This might be like the fifth time. I am at the Trans Health Conference in Philadelphia, which is huge. And I mean that literally. Like this thing has grown exponentially. I walked in expecting it to be the size that it was, I think, last year, the year before. And I don't know how much bigger it is, but it's huge. It's expanded like in every direction. There's so many more vendors. There are so many more sponsors. I'm ecstatic. The mood here is pleasant. It's chill. It's happy. It's friendly. And in case you're not already familiar with the Trans Health Conference, this is the nation's best, possibly biggest trans-related conference that I know of. And it's free. It's free to attend, which is huge. It's so enormously important that this be accessible to everybody and that money not be an object in terms of ability to attend. Because, you know, as we know, like trans youth are still facing significant obstacles in terms of homelessness and having to provide for themselves in families that are not supportive. There's still significant issues in job discrimination. And for these reasons, we're facing significant financial hurdles for transgender variant. Genderqueer people. And this is a great sign that today is so well attended, but there are still significant issues, and I'm really excited. I'm going to try to introduce you to as many people as possible, and we'll see what can happen today. I'd first like to introduce you to Eric. What brings you here today?
I'm actually the founder of Philadelphia I Am Human Campaign, also affiliated with BTMI. So, of course, I'm here for the trans conference.
Did you say this is your first time here? No, okay. This is your third time here? Okay. So how do you think it compares so far to previous ones?
Honestly, I think each year I grab something different from the conference. I actually haven't been able to attend any keynotes or any workshops yet. It's still early in the day, but I look forward to what's in store.
So what all do you have here? I'm seeing a variety of sparkly and non-sparkly in front of me. It's all beautiful. What do you have here for folks?
I'm actually, like I said, the founder of the I Am Human campaign in Philly. Basically what we do is we go out, we do outreach, we feed the homeless, we do different things. People from the LGBT community just trying to shed like positive light on, you know, the stereotypes and stigmas that's associated with us. Let people know that we are human, and we also, you know, we do the work as well. It's just that it doesn't get as much exposure, and we've made a lot of strides to mainstream acceptance, so everything is like getting better. I Am Human, we just, you know, try to end the discrimination, all types of stereotypes and stigmas associated with us being us.
So if you could make one message really clear to people who aren't currently, like, finding out about these kind of issues, like, what would be the most important message you would want to get across to somebody who doesn't already know about this stuff?
The most important message will basically be that all of us have different struggles. We come from different places. We live different ways, different lifestyles, you know, different preferences. But at the end of the day, we all are still worthy of the respect. We all are still worthy of, you know, being respected and being being able to be ourselves. Like, that, you should never strip anyone of their true colors and who they really are.
So if people want to find out more about you, more about what you're doing, is there, like, a place you can shoot them, like a Twitter or website, something like that?
My Instagram is Philly I Am Human. Also on Facebook, I Am Human Campaign. And then Project 100. Project 100 is actually each and every Wednesday we feed 100 people in Philadelphia, in downtown areas where, you know, where a lot of the homeless stay. So we just try to do this give back, you know, consistently, so that we can pretty much end the hunger. And people don't know that homeless people really, they're discriminated against as well. Like, they don't have a place to sleep. They don't have, you know, food. They don't have, you know, they don't have the things that we have. So it's like, it's just only right for us to give back to them at least.
Thank you so much for your time. So I just ran into a good friend. Would you introduce yourself to the nice people?
Tammy Raybar.
And what brings you here today?
The Trans Health Conference. Okay. Here meeting and greeting people that I've known for years and hearing new things. And I've been an organizer of the event for quite a while.
That's great. So one of the things we were just discussing is the nature of, like, media coverage of trans issues right now. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm glad to see that we're having different views, and I'm talking about not just one story but multiple stories. The Caitlyn Jenner story at this point, which is the big hot thing right now, it's great to see someone else on a different angle, which is an affluent angle, which is a totally different transition. Money makes a big difference in how things happen. Whereas I look at the stories that Laverne Cox and Janet Mock and Carmen Carrera and Gina Rivaro all speak about, they're all a little bit different. And Caitlyn's story is also different because everyone's story is different. So what we really have is someone that has done something amazing in their youth, or younger years, if you will, held something, didn't talk about it. Now I see a whole other angle going, all right, you're getting to be who you are, but you're also going to throw it out there in the media. You're going to have a reality show. You're going to have all this other stuff. And I'm going, that's atypical of any other transition. Wait a minute. All transitions are unique because they're all your own. So is it a bad thing? No. Is it a great thing? Maybe. At least there's coverage. And the more people see, the more they understand that the rainbow is really huge.
So what are you hoping to see this year at this conference? What are you hoping to... Are there particular sessions you want to check out?
You know, there's a lot of different good ones. It's really hard to sit down and say. And if I start setting judgments, having been the one of the people that helped pick out workshops, I just hurt myself. So no, I can't really go on that kind of comment. My issue really is making sure that people are happy, that things run fairly smoothly, and that information is good.
Are there any things that you think people should be talking about that you're hoping to see this year in particular?
Well, we had the flag raising earlier. That's the first time it's been over the city hall. It's going to be here for the couple of days that we have the conference, which is a big deal. The thing I think we need to look at for the conference really is we're balanced for the most part. We've made the conference has for the last 4 years that I'm involved in been conscientious in trying to create a balance of masculine and feminine and genderqueer and gender nonconforming, all balancing out so that everyone has a voice. In years past, it went masculine side one time and then it went feminine the other time, and we really need to keep a balance because the community is that diverse and everyone needs a voice.
So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I ran into another friend, you guys. This place is great. So I would like to introduce you to Icon. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are everyone doing today, whatever.
We don't know when you're going to listen to it. Maybe it's right. Like, it could be 3 a.m. where you are. Yeah. What brings you here?
I'm here for the Trans Health Conference. You know, I've always been an ally and supporter of the trans community. So I'm just here to check it out. It's my second year. The first year I did a youth performance, so I never really got a chance to actually go to the actual speakers and anything else. So I wanted to really check it out this year.
So what are you hoping to come across? Like, what kind of content do you think would be interesting to you or important?
Definitely more so of education on trans people of color and how, you know, they get scrutinized and they face job discrimination and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that aspect.
So this is something that you think is like not getting like enough attention, that it's not necessarily an issue that everybody knows about?
Definitely. I feel like, you know, we focus on, you know, more privileged trans people that have, you know, accessibility to, like, you know, getting hormones and getting jobs, getting opportunities, and not much of trans or queer people of color are getting the same thing.
So this is your second year. What is your impression so far this year compared to last year?
It seems like it's gotten more popular. It's a lot bigger.
I feel like I'm in an airport right now.
Yeah, me too. I walked in, I was like, oh my gosh, this is huge this year. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know where to start.
Yeah, I'm like seriously looking for baggage check. I'm like pretty sure I'm going to see Spirit Airlines. And I'm like, I hate you, Spirit Airlines. Right. But like here it would be 2 Spirit Airlines, and that's probably way better. Mm-hmm. That's what they're missing.
Right.
Are you doing any other performance stuff this weekend? Or just shout outs that people should know about what you're doing?
Yeah. Tonight at Bob and Barbara's, 1509 South Street, Lisa, you know, everyone loves Lisa. Show starts 11:15 sharp as always. Lisa is never late, always early, never late. And that's about it for this week.
Cool. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Now I'm going to introduce you to Riley. What brings you to the Trans Health Conference today?
Well, I am the executive director of Rad Remedy, and we are a community-driven version of Yelp, basically, but for trans, gender non-conforming, intersex, and queer folks. And we feel like our community has a lot of, you know, knowledge that we need to sort of collaboratively and create into a large national network to make it easy for folks to find good care. And in terms of care, we're calling that, you know, medical providers, therapists, electrolysis, you name it. And we're at radremedy.org. And we're, I don't know. I mean, I think last year we came here as a, not an organization yet. And Philly was our first place to really come to understand that there was a drastic need. And we felt like coming out of Philly that last year that we wanted to be an organization. And this year it's fitting that this is our launch date for our website to launch and for our national network to actually happen. So we'll be launching a little bit later today and doing a photo booth to do that as well.
So when you talk about a national network, like, are there resources that people can find through your app, your site, that, like, are, like, how across the nation are you able to help people out?
So our model is based on the idea that community organizations and individuals have power and knowledge. So what we did is we started initially with community organizations and ask them for their lists of referrals that they have. And almost every list that we have has some, you know, it's fairly similar, but at the same time is not in the same, you know, state of updating and, you know, the same formatting. And so we put things into a common format. And then we also are being strategic about how we reach out to states and organizations and trying to find you know, resources, a good example. Whereas other places might focus on places where there are lots of resources, like, say, California or New York, we are actually doing the opposite. We are focusing on places that don't have a lot of resources listed everywhere. So we are focusing on places like North Dakota. And it took us 3 months to find a person working on trans anything in North Dakota. And we contacted people in South Dakota, and they said that everybody in North Dakota drives 5 hours each way to get care. And we felt like, A, that's unacceptable, and B, that can't be, there has to be something, and we should figure it out, or we should work to build it. And so what we're doing is before going live with our national network, we wanted to at least ideally make an effort towards having two or three resources in every census area of the country. That is not actually possible at the present time because there are not resources in every census area of the country. But we made an effort to put the focus on folks and areas that don't get a lot of focus most of the time. And I myself am from a rural area, and I transitioned in Chicago because I moved to Chicago, you know. And I'm, you know, one of the things that we're doing in addition to this is that we keep our ear to the ground, and if people need help or they need resources, we find it or we figure out a way to get it to them. In part because we feel like anybody who has a need and is in this community is our people. And that, you know, there's a reason that our buttons that we have here this weekend say I am rad, because we feel like it is a community-driven effort. And that we are transparent to the community and also of the community. So our team is made up of people from across the country. Our board is made up of people from across the country. And we try to strive to have as many populations and subpopulations represented as necessary.
So as you're looking for resources for people, are you finding... I mean, obviously, there are these big areas where there's a dearth. But, like, is it getting better?
I think that the, you know, obviously the public, you know, visibility of it is definitely getting better. I mean, obviously this week with Caitlyn Jenner, you know, we are seeing some of that. But the other part of it is that as much as there is visibility for some folks, there are some communities that don't have that visibility or that don't have the resources of somebody like a Caitlyn Jenner would have. And what we are determined to do as Rad Remedy is to provide for folks who don't have those resources, and to identify as many sliding scale options as possible, and places that you know, work with folks who are undocumented, work with folks who are sex workers. And we feel like the folks on the margins are who we are not. We're centering them now. We feel like it's important for them to be our people, and that it. I mean, to answer the question, I feel like it is getting better to some extent, but it's getting better in some areas to some extent. There are places, you know, like Mazzoni in Philly here, and Whitman Walker, you know, Callan Lore. There's all these places that are really, you know, great centers. But then there are places like Wyoming or North Dakota where people are driving 5 hours or not finding it. And... you know, on our end of things, if we don't have resources there now, we are working with folks on the ground to identify folks, providers who might be willing to entertain being trans friendly or entertain being trans knowledgeable, and then we're going to work with them to become that way, and to identify the best practices for what a trans, gender nonconforming, intersex, and queer practice looks like. So it means things like making sure that your physical office space is representative of your people. So if you're serving trans clients, making it so that your office shows visually that you're serving trans clients, and that has, you know, publications that trans folks read, and, you know, making it so that it is apparent that the folks that you serve are the folks that you're providing for. We have had some folks some providers... particularly in southern regions, say that they don't want to be listed.
Oh.
So they want to serve the populations, but they don't want to be out about it.
Oh.
Which is a very interesting and sticky wicket. And on our end of things, it's a balance, because we feel like it's really important for folks to have access to that information. And then we feel like that transparency about that is important. But at the same time, if it's between somebody not getting care at all and getting care from a provider who's closeted about their care. We feel like it's kind of important that they get care, obviously. And so what we're having to balance that some. And, you know, for folks that are in major, you know, metropolitan areas or areas that have a lot of resources, that the idea of that, of not being out about providing this care, can be sort of a foreign idea. But on our end of things, we're trying to provide for the folks in those areas and to balance that, the piece of privacy versus visibility, and hoping that we do a good job. And at the same time, you know, we're trying to be responsive to that. So if it fails miserably, we're willing to entertain other ideas. But thus far, everybody that we've talked to has been like, thank God you're here. Why haven't you existed before? That's a good idea. Or, you know, oh, I had this bad provider, you know. And so we hear the stories about bad providers. And, you know, one of the things we did last Philly Trans Health conference was we did a needs assessment in which we talked to folks about their care. And some of the stories that we got from them, and this was from attendees, so it was from all over the country, were awful. But then at the same time, it was like feast or famine. You had some that were just amazing providers doing really great work. And then you had some folks who had nurses who wouldn't touch them. So I think it's difficult to say that there's a really safe or really good trend in one solid direction, because I think that there are some areas that are having a really swift trend upward and positive, and other areas that are not seeing that as much.
Cool. Well, best of luck. This sounds like a really good idea.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
So I have just met Gus from Project Safe. So what brings you to the conference?
Project Safe and SWAP are sex work-oriented organizations, and we talk with folks who are of all different gender orientations.
So this is really relevant to the folks who are coming to this conference. Can you elaborate why?
Sure. A lot of the trans folks that we see who are doing sex work are engaged in sex work to fund their medical procedures. So whether it's hormone treatment, surgery, or whatever, they are often not covered by insurance, or their claims are rejected by their insurance company. So they end up having to seek a lot of alternative funding.
So what does Project Safe do in terms of helping people who do sex work?
Well, Project Safe is centered in Philadelphia and does foot outreach along with deliveries. The foot outreach is done in Kensington, which is a very, it's a neighborhood in Philadelphia where there's a lot of drug selling, a lot of sex work, and it's very intensely policed. So Project Safe works to make contact with women who are engaged in sex work in Kensington and get harm reduction supplies to them, so safer sex equipment and safer drug use equipment, to try to reduce the spread of disease among people, and also to kind of empower women engaged in sex work in Kensington to maintain and better their own health.
So for folks who may not be familiar, the harm reduction model is the idea that we can't always necessarily change people's behavior because we may not be able to change their circumstances and the reasons that they're doing whatever behaviors are putting them at risk. But what we can do is minimize, like...
Yes, but also just engaging with people where they are is a very effective way, both of delivering services, but also of building a respectful relationship. And that relationship can be key when a person gets to a point where they are ready to change. So one of the keys of harm reduction is letting people determine what they can do to keep themselves safe. And we try to engage on a low threshold model. So we don't say, okay, we'll give you needles, but you have to promise to stop using within 90 days. We will work with people who want to keep using and work with them on that level. Then when people decide they want to stop, and most people decide they want to stop sort of on their own, very few people who actually seek abstinence-based treatment are successful on the terms of that abstinence, you know, that they engage with the treatment and then never use again. Most people who stop sort of do it on their own. Because there is a respectful relationship with SAFE's outreach workers, it is often the case that SAFE are the people who get reached out to when they're looking for resources.
Very cool. So if people want to find out more, or they want to volunteer their time, or they want to donate to support, where can people find out more information?
SAFE's website is safephila.org. You can also just Google Project SAFE Philadelphia. SAFE's outreach workers are restricted to female-identified folk. That's just sort of the model that SAFE works with. So, I mean, I do a lot of training for SAFE and all that other, all the other stuff that SAFE has to get done, but I don't go out and do outreach. So people should understand that. But look on SAFE's website. If you're coming to the Trans Health Conference, as long as that's running, we'll have a table up. We're also at some of the AEM events, the AIDS Education Month events. Keep an eye open for SAFE. And, yeah, reach out and engage. There are trainings usually every 2 or 3 months, and people can just sign up, and they'll be contacted when the next training happens.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure.
I can't explain how much I love this conference because I just keep running into people that I'm friends with. So I'm going to interview one of my friends and you're going to listen to it. How you doing, Tawny?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So we're at the conference. What brings you here?
I am currently working the Passional Boutique and Sexploratorium table here. So bringing all of our trans-friendly products to the Philly Trans Conference for the 5th year in a row.
So what are some examples of products that you're referring to?
So we have a full complement of binders, packing harnesses for folks who use packers, which are, you know, adding junk down where your junk should be. We have a bunch of packers, harnesses, vibes, pumps, breast forms, clothing that is trans woman friendly, just a lot of like general like gender performance things. So yes.
So generally the store is not necessarily like geared specifically to trans people, just like trans friendly. Like what is the connection between Passion Health Sexploratorium and what we're talking about today?
So many people often look at our clothing and think that we only do men's wear and women's wear, but really we bill our clothing as all body friendly. So being able to present our clothing to all different kinds of demographics in that light kind of makes it a little bit more real and home for a lot of folks. So for example, a lot of folks will just look at corsets and think, oh, that's just for women who want to dress up in the bedroom. But corsets can be a really important body shaping thing for trans women, for example. So,
and is this is your personal 5th year here, or just like the businesses?
Is the business's 5th year here? This is my second year here, personally. Last year I attended. I was an attendee and quote unquote an unofficial volunteer, I should say. And this is my first year actually working as a vendor at this event.
What do you think about this year compared to last year?
It's the first few hours of the event, and therefore it's a little slow. And the thing I really love about this conference is that it's education driven. Everybody's here to learn and gather information and skill share. And so the focus really is on learning and connecting with other people in our community. And it was the same last year, so I feel the same vibe. I see a larger presence of trans masculine individuals, which is excellent. I also see a lot of trans kids, which was really amazing to be able to talk to trans kids about sex positivity in their bodies today. And this has only been in the last, couple of hours of this conference starting?
Can you talk about that conversation a little bit? Like, how did it go down? Like, what do you talk about?
So a couple of parents brought their children over to look at packers and breast forms and sex toys, and explaining like how they would be able to work these things into their wardrobes. Like, for example, talking to an 11-year-old child about gaffs and why gaffs, if folks don't know, are garments that are used to help tuck outy bits for a smoother appearance down below. And it was really great to be able to have this this child tell me, yeah, I really want to be able to wear leggings, but I don't feel comfortable doing so. And me having to say, I'm really sorry that these things aren't available in your size just yet, but here are some easy DIY ways of making this available to you, you small child that wants to come up feeling more comfortable in their body and being able to wear clothes that they want. So it was really great to have that discussion and have a child pick up a masturbation sleeve and say, is this a pocket pussy? And having the parent say, yes, that is. I'm like, you could call it a masturbation sleeve. And we had this wonderful discussion about pocket pussies with an 11-year-old. It was great.
So, like, this 11-year-old seems precocious.
Yeah. Tumblr?
Yeah, okay, all right. I blame / attribute all things to Tumblr.
Because, I mean, what is Tumblr but cats and porn?
It's a lot of, like, GIFs of TV shows from the 90s also.
And cats.
Okay, yes, yes.
And porn.
Yes.
And food. Oh, my God, the food. Tumblr food porn is my favorite. Ooh. And feminism forever.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Well, if people want to know more about Passionale Sexploratorium, where can they find out?
You can go to passionaleboutique.com, sexploratorium.net. You can visit us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and those are the social media we're on.
And you also have a brick and mortar store.
Yes, we have a brick and mortar store, 3rd and South Streets, in the heart of Philadelphia, open 7 days a week, starting at noon every day.
Cool. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Culture. So I'm going to introduce you to April now, who just raised my consciousness about a whole bunch of interesting things that I hadn't thought about before. Could you tell the nice folks what you are talking about today?
I'm talking about the West Philadelphia TransFem Conference, an event being held in protest of the continuing exclusion of trans women from the Philadelphia Trans Health Conference. Okay.
So when you say exclusion, what is that looking like?
What it means is that every year the amount of programming devoted to trans women has shrunk to almost nothing. This was an event founded by trans women to address trans feminine needs, but over the years it's become an alienating space for trans women. It's become completely dominated by trans masculine voices, and to the point where we don't feel we can really coexist.
And you think that this is specifically like a concerted effort to for that to happen, as opposed to just like who sent in submissions or something like that?
I think concerted implies a well thought out intent. I think it's more of a natural evolution of men taking over a space as they are wont to do. Last year there were two trans lady keynote speakers, and that caused an unbelievable uproar from trans men, even though the actual amount of programming devoted to trans women was almost nothing.
So the conference that you've created, what are some of the things that will be discussed and talked about there?
There's going to be workshops about procuring the kind of medical care we need, workshops about what we need to start demanding from care providers who purport to represent our interests. There's going to be writing workshops, self-defense workshops. There's going to be media trainings to train trans women how to talk to the media. It's a full slate of programming.
And most of this is happening in West Philly.
It's all happening in West Philly.
Okay.
At the main space where it is, A Space at 47th and Baltimore, and there's a secondary location, a private residence.
Okay. How's the reception been so far? Like, are you expecting like a whole lot of people? Have you been encountering any like pushback?
We're expecting about 150 people for this, which is why we needed to expand to the second space. The only real pushback we've gotten is from the organizers of Philadelphia Trans Health.
Okay.
They're not too pleased with us, but the idea here isn't to please them. It's to get something done.
Yeah. So in an ideal outcome for next year, do you have change here at the Trans Health Conference, or do you have your conference going concurrently, or like what would you like?
We're willing to talk to the people behind PTHC to encourage them to open up their selection process to a greater degree, make it a lot more transparent, and to ensure that trans feminine voices are respected. However, given the climate that's existed for years, the onus would have to really be on them to prove that they're willing to pay us more than lip service.
So is this like the nature of who makes up the board? Is that like sort of what is behind this selection becoming more and more geared towards men?
Honestly, the entire process is so opaque that I couldn't tell you exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly where the fault in the structure lies. That's why we argue for greater transparency.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so where can people find out more information about your conference and about you, or if they have questions or they want to be a part of it?
Just look up West Philadelphia Trans Femme Conference on Facebook, and we have an event page there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
We are going now to one of my favorite previous guests. You have definitely met her before if you've listened to the show for a while. We are about to talk to one of my favorite people, Rebecca Kling. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Timmery?
I just had some coffee and some butter cake, so...
The butter cake was delicious. Unreasonably so.
Yeah, it's filled with probably everything that's bad for me.
I think it was like butter cake. Like it was mostly butter and a little bit of cake.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah, so you're here presenting.
I am. I am with a friend of mine presenting Queer Speed Friending and Dating.
And what all does that entail?
So last year, this friend Cassandra and I were bored and sort of cranky about a lack of socializing. We felt like there were all of these cool people here that we wanted to meet and weren't sure how to do that. So we sort of threw together a guerrilla speed dating and friending thing. We took over an empty conference room at the conference hall, and we made some signs, and we put it together, and like 20 people showed up, and it was super fun. And the goal this year, so we submitted it, and they were foolish enough to accept it. The goal this year was that there are so many cool people and that there's not good socialization. There is not a ton of socialization space of, like, how do I meet these cool people? And so the space we want to create is something where people can meet folks, and whatever that means is whatever people decide it means. So last year, we definitely had some people who wanted to get hookups, and that was great. And we definitely had some people who just wanted to make friends, and that was great, too. So the slogan we came up with is, everyone is a babe, and you should meet them.
The question that immediately comes to my mind, like, all right, so you go to one of these things, and you have a specific goal in mind. Let's say you want to go hook up, or you just want to make friends. And, like, so then how do you navigate, like, talking to folks when it's not super clear which they are there for, and whether they are there for that with me in particular?
So mainly because of the time constraint, we have less than 90 minutes and we don't have any pre-registration, so we don't know anything about the people coming in. We're sort of leaving it up to people to be adults and talk to each other.
What?
And so we're going to give opportunities for people to think about and what they want out of it, and if they're looking for specific things. but we aren't going to subdivide. And so everyone may have the opportunity to talk to someone who's on the prowl, and everyone may have the opportunity to talk to someone who's looking for friends and looking for socialization. And all of that is great. If we had time, if we had resources, if we had pre-registration, we might organize things differently. But our goal is to get as many people talking and laughing with as many people as possible. And from there, they can sort of take it and figure out what they want to happen outside of once the speed dating and friending is over.
I don't know how many of these you personally have been to. This seems like a really good opportunity for like a networking. I always get to run into a lot of friends and meet cool people. Is this known as a space for hooking up? Is that a thing that's that I just haven't gotten a chance to be a part of?
So my understanding is that every conference, professional and otherwise, is to some extent a space for hooking up. I definitely have hooked up with folks at Philly Trans Health and know that there are many people here who are looking for that specifically. But I also don't want to make that assumption of people who are coming in, and I want there to be a space that, if that's not what you're looking for, or if you're not sure that's what you're looking for, that's okay too.
Okay. Do you have advice for someone who's like, but I'm no good at talking about these things? Like, so you put me in front of somebody and we're going to do this little speed date, and like, so I just don't get a lot of practice. I'm real good at talking on the internet or something. You know, I'll tweet the fuck out of you, but you know, like, what do you, like, you're very personable. You're super easy to talk to. What do you suggest?
Well, part of it for the speed dating specifically and speed friending is we're coming up with some silly questions to get conversation started. So Philly Trans Health Conference, PTHC, what would that stand for if it were a delicious breakfast pastry? If you could choose any two historic figures to compete in a rock, paper, scissors contest, who would they be? If you were trying to be a frugal supervillain and cause the most mayhem for the lowest cost, what would you do? So we're trying to come up with fun and silly questions. But outside of something like this, one of the things I love about conferences and conventions is that people are there to be involved in that community. And so at Philly Trans Health, part of what led us to making this is last year we were feeling lonely and in a friend way, in a socialization way, and saw a group of people who looked really cool and went up to them and said, hey, you look really cool. Can we chat? And they said, yeah, absolutely. No one is going to be offended at being told they look really cool. And so I think that, yes, it can absolutely be scary, but go into a room and sit down next to people you don't know. Go up to a group of people who look really cool and try to strike up a conversation. I always regret not doing something more than I regret doing something and it not working well. I would much rather look back and say, wow, I made an ass of myself talking to that person than saying, boy, I really wish I had tried to talk to that person.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I'm looking back and I'm thinking specifically, I was one time doing a voter outreach and I walked up to a bunch of punks, like literal, like studded spike the whole, and I was like, hey, y'all registered to vote? And they just like stared at me and I'm like, kind of wish I hadn't done that.
So there are lessons to take from that. Maybe there's an exception to every rule, but I don't know that disproves. And you now have this wonderful story to make people like me laugh at how awkward I can imagine that was.
Oh, I bask in my awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that, actually. So what else are you looking forward to about this conference? Like, are there any sessions you're excited about? Are there, like, things that just, like, meta-wise you're stoked about?
Well, we're at a really interesting time in the trans rights movement. So we've had Caitlyn Jenner, who came out on the, not came out, but sort of did a type of coming out on the cover of Vanity Fair. We have the Pipeline Project, which works to give better access to people of color and LGBT organizations, just issued a report, a scathing report, about how the HRC has really failed to live up to its own standards on trans inclusivity and on inclusivity towards people of color. At Philly Trans Health this weekend, there is a counter conference. There's the West Philadelphia Trans Femme Conference, and that's coming out of a feeling that there isn't enough programming for trans women at Philadelphia Trans Health Conference. And all of this is showing how diverse and how not unified we are as a movement, both as a trans rights movement and as an LGBTQIAA, et cetera, movement. And I think that's exciting. It's also a little exhausting to not be sure where your footing is and to not be sure what it means to be an ally or what it means to be a community. So I'm excited to have those conversations. The West Philly Trans Femme Conference starts tomorrow and goes tomorrow and Saturday. Today is Thursday when we're talking. And so I'm looking forward to attending that and seeing how it goes and hopefully getting something out of it, but also hopefully there being room for critique. I'm excited that people are pushing back against Philly Trans Health. I'm also curious and a little hesitant about the separatist way that they're doing it. So I'm excited about a lot.
And
you know, pool parties and debauchery and all that sort of fun.
I'm here for that. So we mentioned briefly, like, Caitlyn Jenner, but, like, this is giving a lot of media, like, a particular impetus to talk about these issues. Are you generally pleased with the way that things have been covered? Do you have feedback for people in media?
You asked that with no leading whatsoever. Like, nothing in your tone of voice thought that you may think that there are some things to talk about. I have very mixed reactions. On the one hand, I think it's important to remember that no one trans narrative should stand in for all trans narratives. And so there's been a lot of, I think, legitimate critique saying that, you know, most trans people are not very, very wealthy. Most trans people are not have access to the type of resources and privileges that Caitlyn Jenner has. That said, that is Caitlyn's story. And so to say she can't tell her story the way she wants it to be told is also sort of problematic. What I would like to see is a trans movement and trans narratives that are broad enough that no one person is expected to stand in for everyone. And we see this within other minority communities. You know, the joke is that no one talks about how movie XYZ portrays a poor depiction of straight white men, because there are so many depictions of straight white men that no one depiction needs to be everything. When you get into any minority representation, there aren't enough representations, and so it's really easy to assume that one should be the stand-in for everything. I do think that anytime trans people are in the media, it gives opportunity to talk about other issues, to talk about issues of racism, to talk about issues of sexism, to talk about sex worker rights, to talk about prison rights, to talk about violence against trans communities, particularly trans communities of color, particularly trans women of color. And Caitlyn Jenner being in the headlines has allowed space for that where there wasn't space a month ago. And so I'm very torn. I don't think Caitlyn Jenner's story can or should be the end-all be-all of trans narrative, but I don't think she's pretending that it is. I think at best it can serve as a jumping off point to open up ideas of what being trans means to people who might not have familiarity. At worst, I do think it's possible for people to misunderstand and assume that Caitlyn's story is representative of everyone's story, but I don't think that that should allow us in the trans rights movement to overly critique Caitlyn Jenner. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were having a conversation with someone earlier who was talking about how there's been some pushback that's like, this is not important. What is important is, you know, like all the youth who are homeless. What matters is all the kids who have to do survival sex work and who are facing violence, and this doesn't fucking matter. But then there's the other point, like, you don't say that like when Beyonce does something cool. Yeah, there's lots of other things we could talk about besides Beyonce. But Beyonce makes us happy.
And we live in a culture that's celebrity dominated, and we live in a consumer culture that is celebrity dominated and fame dominated. And I totally agree with that, that there is much less critique of rock stars or of models or of any other sort of fame. You know, when we see Olympians winning gold medals, we don't say, okay, but we need to take time to talk about people who are on the streets. that's also true. But we need to find that balance. And so I think Caitlyn Jenner shouldn't be held up as the end-all be-all, but also shouldn't be dismissed. And walking towards us right now is my co-presenter, Cassandra Avenetti, who's going to be doing queer speed dating and friending with me. Would you like to talk to Timory for the Sex with Timory podcast?
Hi, how are you?
Would you like me to put you on the spot horribly, Cassandra?
I'd love that. Thank you.
Would you like to talk just for a second about what you're going to be talking about tomorrow? And also, can we talk about your earrings?
We can only talk about my earrings. Okay. They're made by this woman in Chicago. She makes them all by hand and pills them. They're super fierce. I get compliments wherever I go.
Can you describe them?
They have a revolver on the end and a little red rose that it dangles from.
Fierce, I believe, is the term that the kids would use to describe them. Yeah.
Kids. Yeah, I'm not one of them, but yes, they might. They might use that.
So, did you have any thoughts about the conference so far? Like, anything, like, really popping out to you as being a really strong feel?
I mean, I love Philly. I just, full disclosure, just walked in, and I'm super disoriented because it moved buildings, and so I've been wandering around sort of with a confused look on my face, but I'm really excited to kind of dig in and see what they're going to, you know, going to be working with this year.
Cool.
So... What are we hoping for in the years coming with this conference? Like, what do we want there to be more of, less of, whatever? In our ideal conception, how will future conferences look?
I think that... Awkward dead air, but it's recorded, so you can cut it out later. It's difficult for anything to be everything. And so critique around Philly trans health, there isn't enough workshops around trans feminine identity. Absolutely true, and it's something that needs to be addressed. I think that as Philly trans health has become more inclusive and friendly for kids and families, that has come at the expense of workshops around sex and kink. And I think that's really disappointing and something I would love to see pushed back. I think there is not enough conversation around fragments within the trans community, that there is a lot of racism and sexism and intergenerational ageism within the trans community. And those are things I don't see often addressed. But it's tricky to ask for Philly Trans Health to be everything to everyone. So I think in the coming years, I would love to see Philly Trans Health actively work on those issues of inclusivity, and not just in terms of who's walking down the hall, but who's presenting workshops and what are those workshops about. And to give more space and more transparency in the planning process. I think transparency can only help, because one of the critiques that I have heard, and that quite frankly I've... one of the critiques I've heard and that I agree with is that there isn't a ton of transparency. And so you'll hear, why isn't there any workshop on XYZ? I know I submitted a workshop on XYZ, and so where is it? And if there was a little more transparency and understanding in how these decisions are made, how the workshop is organized, how the conference is scheduled, I think that could help too.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much. And if people want to find out more about you and your work, where do they go?
They can go to RebeccaKling.com, K-L-I-N-G. I'm also on the Twitter and the Bookface and Instagram and all that bullshit. Carrier Pigeon.
I personally use smoke signals mostly. Yeah. Cool. Good talking to you again.
Likewise.
Thanks for joining me on this little adventure at the conference today. There are so many more things that we could talk about and so many more people that I could interview, and I would love to just take this entire experience and just hand it directly to you, which is not going to be physically possible because we don't yet have the technology for me to just hand you entire experiences. But I hope that this got you interested in these issues and made some things clear. I, for instance, learned a lot actually talking to people today, and was really unclear on what people were going to talk about until we got to it. And that's one of the things I just love about this conference. And it's a really cool opportunity to learn so much and hear from people whose voices are not getting near enough signal boost right now. So hopefully this has raised your consciousness or at least your interest in some of these things. So check out the folks that we talked to today. Check out the conference itself. Again, it's free. You can walk in and be like, yup, and then walk right back out and still, you know, that's participating in a way. So thank you for listening and have a great day. Just like to give a shout out to our brand new sponsor, thesweethoneypot.com. That is www.thesweethoneypot.com. It is your passion playground, and you should go check out their site because they are bringing sex positivity to you today by sponsoring this episode. And what do they have for you to peruse? A huge selection of items for all genders. There's lingerie in a huge diversity of sizes, and everything has user reviews, and there's videos for most of the products, so you can actually see how it works and how the experience has been for other people who've tried it. The billing is discreet and the shipping is discreet, 24-hour customer service, and they're giving us a special deal just for you Sex with Timmery listeners. If you use Timmery, T-I-M-A-R-E-E, you get $10 off of your next purchase, as long as it's over $50. So use T-I-M-A-R-E-E to get $10 off your first, next, every purchase. Again, www.thesweethoneypot.com is your passion playground. I want to thank them for bringing you this episode, and enjoy. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. And thank you.